it's pretty obvious that this is going to happen, that they're desperate to try to, you know, fix the system. And yeah, I don't know to this.
The system cannot be fixed. But, you know, before we're both running out of time for your battery ends,
yeah.
You know, if you want to kick off the, do you want me to kick it off or you kick it off for the Trump
Twitter? Yeah, let's do a quick, 5-10 minute video, another report. So what me and Tim are doing here, we're actually putting together a couple of reports as we're doing our live stream, you know.
Everyone, this is Tim Pichot, coming live with you, also with John Snyson with World Alternative Media. And today we're going to talk about the ongoing China trade dispute that is going on, that seems like it's getting, you know, wilder and wilder by the day. And just at a really, really high level, what seems to be going on is that every time the market's doing well, then Trump will then, you know, throw some sort of monkey wrench in there, because all of a sudden now what this means is that when things are going well, then there's less of a chance of getting a rate cut. So Nestor, John, your screen just went out once more. But what I think is going on with all this is that Trump wants a rate cut. And something that I talked about back in March was that I think he is forcing a rate cut, and how he's forcing a rate cut is by throwing this extra turmoil into the system. He is then going to create this chaos and calamity, which will then basically force the Fed's hand to have to get a rate cut. And so, you know, what's really crazy is going on is that, you know, we, you know, here Trump is, you know, saying to China, you know, this, again, this is all sort of like paraphrasing, but hey, you know, we're going to slap all these tariffs on you. And then he says, well, wait a minute, we're actually going to, you know, take a break, because we want to give the, you know, American consumers, we don't want to hurt the American consumers. But, you know, if, you know, I thought that all this stuff was great for American consumers. So why is it going to hurt American consumers if we take the tariffs off? And then all of a sudden, then China, from a negotiation standpoint, is like, well, if you are doing this because you don't want to hurt the American consumers, then why don't we just sort of pounce right now? And then, so then China pounces, and then Trump's like, oh, wait, well, I'm actually going to, you know, put the tariffs back on, and we're going to put it even at a higher level. And, you know, it all be, we'll be seeing if this, if the tariffs actually do end up happening, because it would be, I think, so devastating. And at one point, the tweet actually, and I'm in like the middle of a really long tweet, but it says, vast amounts of money made and stolen by China from the United States year after year for decades will and must stop. Our great American companies are hereby ordered to immediately start looking for an alternative to China, including bringing our country, including bringing your companies home. I don't use Twitter a lot, so I guess I'm supposed to read up as opposed to reading down. And it's actually crazy if you look at the amount of tweets he's had just since he sent this. It must be like 100. Like, I just had to keep scrolling, and it was only
Twitter man.
3 days ago. I mean, it's like more than like a teenage girl. But I actually like his tweets. I don't go on Twitter very much, but I like all the, you know, what talking he's doing and all the trash talking he's doing. But, you know, unfortunately, what he and Jerome Powell do have something in common, that they both think the economy, that what they're doing is like, it's like a thermostat. They're like, oh, if we can just dial this here a little bit, or we could dial this there a little bit, or we could raise an interest rate, or... But what they're doing is they're playing with a nuclear reactor. They're not playing with a thermostat. And when you're playing with a nuclear reactor, things are going to happen that are going to be outside of your control, more or less blowing things up. And it's going to be all the conservatives, you know, even though we know they're fake conservatives that are in there, a bunch of rhinos, that are going to get the blame for all this. And then we're going to have an even worse person coming in 2020 or 20, you know, it's really immaterial if we get a hardcore socialist in 2020 or 2024, really sort of immaterial. So one thing, you know, quick shameless plug, I think there's going to be a lot of turmoil going on around the election. I think a lot of people are positioned wrong. I think a lot of people think that Donald Trump has a lock to win this. And if Donald Trump ends up losing this, I think it's going to be terrible news for the market. So we have actually do have some hedging strategies right now, where if you're a baby boomer right now, if you're close to retirement, you just retired, we have different strategies where we can actually quantify what your max loss potentially could be. You know, what we do is we buy some put options on the downside. But, you know, there are smart ways to do this, and there's dumb ways to do it. So we do it, you know, the best way possible. And then what we can say is, okay, depending on, you know, your scenario, and this is assuming everything went to zero. So even gold in the portfolio went to zero, which it probably wouldn't. It'd probably go up. But what would happen is, you know, we could say, hey, you know, if everything went to hell in a handbasket, the most you could lose is, let's say, 6%, 7%, 8%. However, if so stuff outside of our control happens and we start printing trillions of dollars, then now we're hedged to the upside as well, because you don't just want to retain the amount of USD or Canadian dollars or whatever country you're listening to us from in that sort of currency. You want to be able to maintain your purchasing power. And so this is something I thought a lot about. I do have a presentation called, what is it called? Crisis Retiring. So go to thelibertyadvisor.com/crisis retiring. It's a speech that I gave at Jeff Berwick's Dollar Vigilante Summit last year at Anarchapoco. I think all of it still basically rings true. today. But anyways, without further ado, we're going to kick it off to John Snyson, what he thinks about all this ongoing trade disputes between China and the United States and Trump's Twitter handle and what and where he thinks things are going.
Well, first of all, people that think that the United States is in great shape is very far out. Of course, the United States will never be able to pay back their debt. They're bankrupt. They could say that, oh, yeah, we'll never be able to go bankrupt because we'll just print our way out of it. Yeah, go ahead, and then you have a hyperinflation on your hand. Of course, I find it so hilarious listening to Trump saying that the Chinese are stealing from them. Well, the Chinese just have printed more currency, and of course, they've been able to have a massive labor force that they utilized in order to be at a huge competitive advantage, of course, compared to the United States. And of course, it doesn't help that they have their communist regime, forcing them to work for a lot less and be obedient, of course. But they, it was actually Kissinger that, made the deal back with Mao Zedong back in the day. And he came over there and said that, we could have the, you guys could, use our US dollar as the reserve currency and start trading with it. And with that, we'll actually utilize your massive labor force and be able to take a huge advantage of the cheap labor and then move all our factories over to China. So that's what Trump is really mad at here, is the move that happened by United States corporations out of the country to, have the cheap labor force for manufacturing out in, China is actually now becoming so expensive that there's so many other countries right now, like Vietnam, Cambodia and other places that are actually getting cheaper and have more slave labor and child labor, of course, than China itself, because China is kind of turning into a very fast version of the United States. So what the United States have seen with the baby boomers and the enrichment you get from printing tons of money in the early stages. So, look at what China has been doing with One Belt, One Road. They've been slushing around debt all around the world. Of course, they've been using the IMF strategy to be able to circumvent, the United States, totalitarianism around the world and control through all their military. They have used a smarter strategy. They built a whole bunch of infrastructure in all these countries instead of, giving them just loans. They actually built the infrastructure, gave some benefit to the people, but now the people like Zambia, for example, just got downgraded yesterday again. And Zambia also was the country that the Chinese, the Asia Investment Bank, took over the airport, and I believe the one of the biggest power generation plants in Zambia. So you're seeing they're using the same strategy as the IMF. It's the same corrupt bankers, but just in a Chinese version. And if you think that that's anywhere different, then of course they're just a little bit more communist than everybody else. I saw a recent video from all these bankers, saying that, oh yeah, China is embracing the free market and it's a free market economy. And then they showed how great the electronic payment system were and the social credit system. But of course, they didn't talk about
like the 2.2 million Chinese that it can't even travel right now.
Yeah. I guess that would, they made it before. They put out this great documentary on how great it was to invest in. Of course, like everybody, like Warren Buffett, all the big names, they're all over there in China, invested substantial amounts. Why they used the Chinese banking system to print, We got to remember the Chinese bubble, the debt bubble that's there is really epic, because they went, I think they almost went up 1300 or 1400% over the last 15 years in the amount of currency printed. So they really printed their money very fast. And of course, they're struggling now with the inflation. People are, of course, keeping gold over there in China. And there's just a recent bank failing. Now, of course, Hong Kong doesn't want anything to do with the Chinese totalitarianism. So they are really struggling there as well. They want to be able to have their independence. But of course, China can't have anybody be independent, autonomous from China if they're supposed to be owned by China. So we're going to see a lot of calamity around there and, of course, around the world with all the chaos going on. But what we got to remember, it's not all this talk about the trade war. The most biggest issue is the debt. I don't know how many times we need to say it, but that's the actual real bad issue here is all the substantial amounts of debt that have been, you know, in the private sector, in the corporate, and in the banking sector. It's everywhere, and it's inundated, and it's just like the green goo that is just spreading itself everywhere, and there's nothing, you know, that it doesn't eat up and swallow, and soon our planet is basically debt planet, and if aliens were to come back and look at us, Tim, I think they would be pretty disappointed if they ever created us or something crazy like that. They would come back and see, like, oh, these humans, they really screwed up this one.
And let's also point out that these massive debts and deficits are occurring under the backdrop of the supposed greatest economy in the history of the world. And I don't need to belabor that because we spoke on that during the last podcast. And I do apologize because people are out there saying that I'm like a verbal AK-47. Somebody else said the last stream that I was like a machine gun, that I'm talking too fast.
Well, that's pretty good, actually. So, well, AK-47 is actually a pretty good, old, solid, and reliable gun. So I'm not rushing though.
So I guess I'm rushing my talking right now in verbiage. But that's, I don't know, okay. Something happens when I start getting into all these different things. My brain just starts going crazy, and I'm sort of like an Asperger's. Like I just can't like, but help it that my brain somehow works better when I start talking a lot faster. But one thing I do want to point out is a lot of people have been commenting that you know, that China is taking advantage of us. Well, what China is doing is China is giving us actual goods. I mean, they might be crap, but they're giving us actual goods, and we're giving them IOUs and zeros on a screen. And hey, so
Americans are buying those goods. If they want to buy American, Tim, go ahead, you know, start making stuff in America.
No, I hereby order. I hereby order that God Emperor Trump has now ordered that the American companies.
That's right.
So there goes his most. There goes. You know. Before he was elected, I made it. My first video that I put on my page was called "The Libertarian Case for Trump." Well, I guess you know that goes out the window, and it won't be.
I think it's more like the emperor doesn't have any clothes kind of guy. I feel like that's Trump for us there.
That's a very bad image. And all this is to blame is from globalism, where all the, you know, elite basically sold us all out. And then this is all planned, engineered, orchestrated, not coming as a shock to anybody. But what else what else is going on in the China trade war is that, you know, China's saying, you know, we're going to have the last laugh at this. And they also, I mean, think about it, Z or X, whatever it pronounces his name. Xi Jinping is a dictator over there. He's a crime minister, as Jeff Baruch would say. He doesn't have to go be reelected in next year.
Whereas he has in a limited term now.
yeah. So he doesn't have to worry about being reelected, whereas Donald Trump needs to worry about being reelected. So if I were the Chinese, there's, you know, as Chuck Schumer said, there's seven ways to Sunday to get at Donald Trump, because the stock market, whoever has a positive stock market has an 86% chance, the incumbent does, of winning again, their party does, if the market is positive the 2 months prior to an election. And so one of the things I talk about in podcast number one, so I really encourage you guys to go listen to this, is that Donald Trump, if he were to take the bait on all this, that the other thing he's doing is that the media is then, you know, basically letting him hang himself, giving him enough rope to hang himself, you know, probably like really literally, not like Jeffrey Epstein, who probably didn't really hang himself. But anyways, with Donald Trump, they're giving him, you know, the media, I mean, it's very weird that the media was feeding into all this of talking about how great everything is, and the economy is going great, and basically buying into his ego, because they know that the same people that own the media are the same globalists who engineered this stuff, are the same globalists that control the central banks, are the same globalists that control the real banks, are the same globalists that control the printing presses and the actual presses. And so all they need to do is let him hang himself, go out there, you know, give himself more rope. And then all you have to do is, you know, basically yank some of that rope, or cut, you know, or sow some discernment into the markets right before the election, and then crash things down, and then boom, that could swing a few points, and then Donald Trump loses. I predicted he was going to win last time. Everyone laughed at me, and now all the same people that were laughing at me now think that I'm crazy. Thinking 40 days into his reelection, as soon as he bombed Syria, I go, all right, that's it. This guy is right now.
It smells very much like what happened to Obama from Bush, right? Where you had the market collapse that just happened when Bush got Obama got reelected. It looks very similar to me, that what's going to happen. I think there's so many monkey wrenches that could be thrown into the U.S. political I don't know what to call it.
Happened like in 2014, theater. And what they did was, as soon as we stopped printing money, within days the European central bank started printing money, and then of course, global collusion. Bank of Japan then started printing money, and then, as we had just mentioned during the live stream, that the global Federal Reserve balance sheet rose for the first time since quantitative easing ended just this past week. And so it's like this global game of hot potato. And so what happened was, you know, the Federal Reserve kept saying, we're going to raise rates. And then they looked so stupid that by the end of, I think it was 2015, they had to just sneak one in there. And then after Trump had won the election and Obama was a lame duck, then they then put another one in there. And then I think they rose it like six times, and they lowered it again once for Donald Trump. But the only reason they were able to raise that is because of all the optimism that was out there. But an economy cannot just run off optimism. The S&P 500 is up about 440% off the lows, whereas the GDP is only up off the lows, whereas the GDP, I was reading earlier today, is only up like 44%. So I think it was...
Yeah. Think about it this way, Tim. You know, the actual, I pulled the numbers back in 2018. It was from 2008 to 2018. The actual balance sheets from each and every banker, a central bank around the world, and I think I pulled data from about 70 to 80 central banks. The average was 333% of an average increase on their balance sheets, and that's how much money they printed. 300% more money since that time, and that's a pretty substantial number, and it's nothing to joke with, because that's an average of, what is that, Tim? That's about an average of 30% every year extra money supply in the economy. And of course,
and it's grown about 6% per year, I think, dating back to the 70s, right, or like early 80s. And so that's like the true definition. They've changed the definition of inflation. The inflation definition used to be about money printing, and now they changed it to the consumer price index, which, you know, if you guys want to go get my free book, text Liberty Advisor or World Alternative Media, either one brings you the same place, no spaces, to 71441. And I wrote a book on how they rig these numbers called To Dispel All of Obama's BS. And now I have to like rewrite the stuff to then dispel all of Trump's BS. And I was a gigantic Trump supporter. My daughter was born, I like to call it now, Obama's first full day out of office. I was wearing a Donald Trump shirt when my daughter was born. I mean, are you going to say like, and then I was on Right Side Broadcasting. I helped reach millions of people the weeks leading up to the election from a page that I just started right before the election. I had fake news go viral 2.5 months before the president even used it. I had said that Russians were going to be the blame for all this stuff, because the Clintons always blame their enemies for what they're doing, in September of 2016. And so for everyone out there saying that, you know, this guy doesn't really like Trump and he's just trying to say that now to get some, you know, turn people against him, I'm not rooting against Donald Trump. Certainly, no one was more anti-Hillary Clinton than me, but it doesn't do me or my grandchildren or your kids or anyone else's kids here any benefit if we're perpetuating this BS myth of economic stability, when the problem is, if you don't address the Federal Reserve, which addressing it is ending it or having competing currencies, then everything you're doing is papering things over. You're putting, you know, masking the symptoms, and you're not dealing with the root cause. I had confidence that Donald Trump would actually deal with the root cause. And you got all these Q people out there thinking, okay, it's just more 4D chess and just, you know, hold your pants over there. And believe me, that Trump is going to end the Federal Reserve. And he was, you know, someone bet me a steak dinner that he was going to do it, you know, last January 15th or something, because Q said it. So I'm still owed a steak dinner. Shout out to Bob Stanley. Thank you.
Well, see, this is the thing, Tim, when like the Federal Reserve is like a rotten apple or rotten tomato that you put in a pile of other, you know, apples or tomatoes. And actually over time, that rottenness, you know, just spreads into every single tomato in that bag. And that's the way it is. It's, you know,
or
you
could go with the one bad apple spoils a whole bunch, classic metaphor, unless you're the police and it's only one bad apple and they never say like the rest of where that,
but it's basically monetary poison that's been, you know, put out there to the population back in 1971 when they went off the gold standard. And of course, any centralization of money that they had since 1913, since Christmas 1913, when they created the Federal Reserve, all of that has come into fruition now. And this is like, it's so funny, like when you go and study all kinds of like empires and currencies, they usually last about 100-ish years. Between 80 to 120 years at the most, they last. And it's usually like two generations, two full generations through a monetary cycle. And that's what we're seeing now. We had, you know, our two full generations through this whole cycle now. And people have forgotten anything about what was before that, you know, our great-grandparents, there, Tim, what they had to go through back in the day and what they saw when they were alive. Nobody remembers the hyperinflation. It's very few anymore. There's some, of course, in Germany that have seen it, but people tend to completely forget. And of course, there's other countries that are, you know, just infamous for printing money out of thin air. Of course,
people don't even remember what happened 10 years ago in 2008. People don't even remember back then.
No, and think about it. Yeah, and think about it this time. Like, we've been in such a monetary expansion that we never had. Is it like I thought it was this is the longest expansion ever we had in the economy, Tim? Is that correct in the stock market?
There is actually an asterisk next to that statement, and I did a podcast on this right around this time last year, and I'm trying to remember exactly what the situation was, but I believe the longest one on record was from 1990 to 2000 when the dot-com bubble, except what happened was when the there was a period in around 1990 where the stock market went down, I think, 19.98%, which technically 20% would be official
crash. Yeah, so it was, it was.
So technically, you'd have to actually back it to the 1987 crash, but generally held, it's people count the 19.981 as a market correction when technically it isn't. So even that is freaking fake news. I did a story on that last year. And then I think I talked about then potential black swans about how the QE is going to ramp, or the quantitative tightening is going to ramp up in October. And that's the time that all hell is going to break loose. And that's what happened, where, you know, apparently, you know, Mark Carney and Jerome Powell and all the other 1,000 economists that the government has in the dole couldn't have saw that coming. But guys like you and myself and Josh saw that coming going all along. But one thing I want to ask some people is, I know you've got to get going here soon, is, you know, maybe who you'd like to see us talk to in the future. You know, I am holding up a copy of Creature from Jekyll Island, where, I mean, a lot of this, you know, this is definitely the Bible on all this information that I would highly recommend you guys check that out. But I mean, some people I'd like to see, I mean, personally, I mean, I'd love to do maybe a joint video with G.R. Griffin, or maybe one with Mike Maloney, or John Williams from Shadow Stats, or, you know, but is there people out there that you guys would like us to reach out to? You know, realistic, you know, don't be like, you know, get Jerome Powell on, or get Janet Yellen, or, you know, so why don't you get Mark Carney on and debate him, you know, but, you know, but leave it down in the comments if you guys would like anyone that you guys would like to see us bring on as well and have a discussion with, because things are heating up, and it's, you know, John has a lot of stuff going on personally. I have a lot of stuff going on personally today as well. And, you know, there's just too much stuff going on right now not to comment on the ongoing financial collapse that we are seeing, because it's, things are just getting crazy. I mean, we've got, you know, central bankers saying that we're going to have an SDR, like, you know, Libra currency. You know, that sounded crazy when you and I say it, when G.R. Griffin freaking, I mean, obviously he didn't write about the Libra back then, but I mean, a lot of that is predicted in this book.
Hey, Tim, if you have any curiosity, I don't know if I've shown you, but I have the SDR owner's manual that was stolen out of a library and resold. So we got that over here at the place where
secret location.
I have my little bunker. Over here, we know what you're up to, guys. We know what you're up to. So don't try to lie to us. You know, go out there and say, like, we need a world reserve, like, Libra type currency. I'm pretty sure that the IMF and others have, you know, desperately are trying to put something together, of course. Good. But I really appreciate all of you guys that have been on here and following us today. And lots of great comments. I keep on watching it. We have a very knowledgeable audience here at World Attorney Media. So we greatly appreciate what you guys are, you know, supporting us and bringing our information out to everybody else to really save the global economy from this calamity that's coming, that, of course, Powell and everybody else was discussing probably at the Jackson Hole just recently. I was there last year talking about what they were doing. But yeah. So let's just finish up here, Tim. And of course, you guys should follow us on and subscribe to our Subscribestar. You know, support us there. Also, we have the Winnipeg Crypto Conference coming up October 11th to 13th. The promo code there is WAM, WAM, so you can get 10% off the ticket. It's going to be fantastic. Lots of great people. More and more speakers. Tim is going to be there, and a whole bunch of other fantastic speakers like David Morgan, Anthony Blanchard. Andy Hoffman, and a whole wide array of other really fantastic experts on blockchain and cryptocurrencies. And we're there to, you know, promote the future of the world, which is gold, crypto, and blockchain, in my point of view. So that's what we're going to do there. And of course, don't miss Anarchadelphia, which is coming up in September, guys. So yeah, so that's it for now. This is John Snyson and Tim Pichot summing up from World Alternative Media. Find the truth, be the change.
James.
Thank you for listening to the show. One of the ways you can help support the show is by seeing if it makes sense to invest with myself. I'm a certified financial planner with Innovative Advisory Group, LLC. Innovative specializes in self-directed IRAs where you can invest into virtually anything, including virtual assets and cryptocurrencies inside your retirement accounts. And get this, you can actually hold on to the private key. And that's something that nobody else is doing, at least with the help of an advisor. We also run protective growth portfolios where you invest a small amount of your portfolio into put options, and while the rest, and that basically helps protect the rest of the portfolio. Not very many people are familiar with put options, but a lot of people are familiar with homeowners insurance, and it works in a very similar fashion. So essentially what you're doing is using a very, very small percentage of basically, you know, the value of the home to protect the rest of the home. And if the house doesn't burn down or there isn't a major catastrophe, then you're basically out on the cost of the insurance. Flip side on, you know, if your house ends up burning down, well, then you build your house back. And that's really the same thing that's going on here. So if the market ends up tanking and we know the most that you can possibly lose on your investment, and honestly, if the market were to go down 60, 70%, and you're only down single digits potentially, then that's an amazing buying opportunity. Lord Nathan Rothschild said it best, that the best time to invest is when there's blood in the streets. But if your money goes down with everybody else's, then you're not able to take advantage of the next crisis. And also, if you're just camping out in cash or in bonds, making next to nothing, you could be going broke safely for a very long time. And then you've got to know when to time the market. And that's something that basically nobody can do. Now, on the flip side, if I'm wrong in all this and the market keeps going higher, or the Federal Reserve comes out, or the European Central Bank comes out and says, hey, we're going to print a whole bunch more money, and the market goes to infinity, well, then you'll go up to infinity minus the cost of that put option. So I think that this is a great strategy that you definitely want to learn more about. I mean, just given the craziness that's going on right now, I mean, if you're heavy into cash right now, heavy into bonds, or even heavy into stocks, especially if you're close to actually needing those funds for retirement, or just needing those funds in general, maybe for a big project, or maybe you work on a crypto and you raised a whole bunch of money, that this is something that we can help protect yourself and protect your loved ones. And there's nothing you have to lose by scheduling a free consultation with us. And actually, there's a chance you could lose a lot by not talking with us in general. If you go and click on our website in the upper right-hand corner, there's a Work with Tim button up there. You can see all of our plans, ways we work with our clients. Pricing can all be found there. And given that I'm sort of out there on a lot of different political issues, I know that I'm not going to be for everybody. You know, that's sort of my way of qualifying you, not the other way around. But, you know, I'm fine. I'm not trying to have all six billion people out there like me. And I'm here to really, at the end of the day, to tell the truth and to make money, not necessarily make friends. So head over to thelibertyadvisor.com and let's see what we can do for you. Thank you.
Ross Ulbricht is serving a double life sentence without parole for all nonviolent charges for creating a website. Please help free this peaceful man. Go to freeross.org and sign and share the petition.